Welcome back to another season of Talkin' Moto. That's right, we are now in season two officially. We got the Supercross preview coming up. I am so excited for the season to get back up and going again. We got so much to talk about. We got new fellas from Europe coming over. Jorge Prado leaving his gas, going to a different team. We'll get all into that when we get to the 450s. Like normal, we are going to be starting here with the 250s. Kind of like how we did it last year. I think when it comes to race recaps, I might change some things up a little bit. Maybe not go as much of a play-by-play type of deal. More of what kind of stood out. And see how that goes, at least. That's probably what I'll try for the Anaheim 1 recap that is coming up. So, yeah, hopefully that'll all work out. But, of course, we have the preview show here to start with. And we're going to start with 250s. We've got a couple things. Got a little segment show, kind of, sort of. Would be nice to have some sponsors for it, but nobody listens to this. But I'm going to keep on doing it because I have fun doing it. So we got old faces, new places. Kind of picked this up from a different podcast that I listened to about football. So kind of stealing that from them. Shout out, pardon my take. So yeah, we got old faces, new places, last year of deal. And yeah, we got some team drama going on with multiple teams, different sponsorship nonsense going on with a pretty big sponsor that's been in the game for quite a few years, as long as I can remember. Been on a couple different manufacturers now, and gonna be on another manufacturer most likely next year. But yeah, we're putting the cart before the horse a little bit here. And, yeah, the last one, we'll wrap everything up with the 450s at the end. I will give my predictions for championship winners. I will also tweet them out, pin them, so I will not forget who I pick. Even though last year I went 0-3 in Supercross, 0-2 in Outdoors, and I think I got both SMX correct last year. So, hey, I'm on a hot streak. Two for my last two, maybe. I don't know. Might need someone to fact check that for me. Also, now thinking back, I'm not really sure if I made a prediction for SMX last year. Oh, well. We're just rambling now. So, yeah, let's jump into it. Some old faces, new places in the 250 class here. We're going to start off with what I think is definitely the biggest one, and that's Austin Faulkner going from the Pro Circuit Kawasaki team over to the Triumph team, which also now Triumph just announced, well, not just announced, a couple weeks ago now, announced that they have a new gear deal with FXR. And the press release that they used, it was a black and white picture. Not really sure why you would take a gear deal press release and make it a black and white picture, but hey, man, that's what they did. That's not what I would probably do. I'd say, hey, let's show off these cool colors that we got, even though it's probably black, white, and a little bit of yellow to match the team. But still, got to show it off a little bit, am I right? So, back to Austin Faulkner joining Triumph. He came out and said they offered more years and money than Kawasaki offered him. He liked the more years and money because I guess he's got a family soon, coming soon, maybe already. When I heard it was a family soon, that was probably about a month ago, and I'm not exactly sure. Don't exactly keep tight updates on Austin Faulkner in the off season because well, I guess the biggest one was the whole, well, I can't really downplay it now, but he did have brain surgery, I do believe, and it got pretty darn sketchy for him. So Yeah, but he will be ready to race come Anaheim 1 here in 5 days. And now I'm on X looking for that Austin Faulkner brain surgery thing, and I just saw that someone used the same picture as me for the 5 days until Anaheim 1, and it was Dungy with his hand shift, suicide shift, I think, as some people were calling it. Yeah, that was a little crazy of him. But back to Austin Faulkner and me trying to find... I'll find it later. So yeah, he moved from Pro Circuit Cali, where he's been his entire career. Got more years, more money from Triumph. In my mind, I saw quite a few people saying this. Either Triumph is going to win their first championship with Austin Faulkner, or Austin Faulkner will never be the same guy on Triumph that he was on Kawasaki with the speed, race-winning ability until... It seems like every year until something crazy happens and Austin Faulkner throws himself off the bike, obviously. Got pretty sketchy in, what was it, Dallas last year when he landed on the concrete, and that's what ended his season last year. But it's going to be very, very interesting how he reacts to this new Triumph bike. Well, new for him. Obviously, their second year coming in with, I do believe, only one same rider from last year. Yeah, because Savatgy was their other guy alongside Jalik Swole. Savatgy is gone. We will get to that in the 450 class. But yeah, Austin Faulkner is not the only new guy to Triumph. Jordan Smith also moved from the Star Racing Yamaha to the Triumph. He got a 2-year deal along with Austin Faulkner. Those are the only guys where I have, what is term for, years for. I know a lot of the time it's a 2-year deal, so I'm just kind of expecting probably all of these to be 2-year deals, except maybe a couple one years in the 450 class. But I'm assuming most of these 250 class deals are all 2 years, because that is mainly what goes on there. And another guy switching over was Pierce Brown. We saw he had his big breakout races in the SMX World Finals, the last 3-round series. He also did, he was on a pretty good roll in Philadelphia until he crashed. And now I'm trying to figure out where exactly he ended. I know he was in like second place. Pierce Brown down to 17th. Oof. Yeah, he was, that was his Supercross breakout race until the crash, and then he really showed a little bit more potential once he got into the 3 SMX final rounds, where he ended up getting the win the last round, I do believe. Yeah, last round he got the win in Vegas, waited till the very end to get his win with Troy Lee Designs, but he is now on the Star Yamaha, who once again seem like, if there's a free agent rider out there, there's a very good chance they will get him. Casey Cochran, we will save him for last, because that has to do with some of the drama I was talking about. Max Voland was on Cali last year until he got hurt in preseason boot camp training, and now he is on the club FXR Muckoff Yamaha team, and I noticed something pretty interesting. Weege went out there and did a little Weege show from the club's training compound or whatever you want to call it, and they had a simulated race day. This is about mid-December probably, and they showed Max Volin's handlebars, and because of his injury last year, he was losing feeling in his foot and ankle area, so he wasn't able to push down on the rear brake. So now he has on, what is it, his left side, he's got a clutch lever and his rear brake lever, and then on his right side, he's still just got his front brake. So he said it's just like second nature now, like he doesn't even have to think about it. And yeah, he said he's got to pull that brake lever all the way in to get it to act like a normal foot brake, if you will, for the rest of the bikes that are out there. So yeah, he said it's coming along good. I don't think he will be racing in the West Coast at least, so it might be a little bit more time before we see Max Volin out there, hopefully racing again for Supercross here. Now I got it pulled up here. Go find a club. Yamaha. Yeah, Maximus Volin is under 250 East. Shout out dirtbikelover.com. That's where I'm getting this from. So yeah, Max Volin, 250 East. Dirtbikelover.com is also where I am getting the rest of the big names in the 250 West that I will be touching on here. So if they're wrong, I did a bunch of Googling, and this has seemed like the best website I could find it on. So now we got Ryder DeFrancesco. I think still confused really on how to say that middle part of his last name, but we'll stick with Ryder D here. He went from the Troy Lee Designs Gas Gas machine, Rockstar, I think, Red Bull, I don't know, over to the now Rockstar Gas Gas machine. That is not as big of a deal. So yeah, now we can get to the whole TLD Gas Gas drama. Troy Lee, Red Bull, Gas Gas, Factory Gas Gas moved to in-house and rebranded as Rockstar Factory Racing Team. So they are timeout. That's what they are. They are a timeout here. All right, I got it all figured out now. I was just reading that kind of stupid. So Troy Lee Design Red Bull Gas Gas Team. The Factory Gas Gas, like I just said, moved in-house as part more of the big Austrian brand and rebranded as Rockstar Energy Factory Racing Team. So the big rumor that's circling out there is that Troy Lee Designs is going to be teaming up with Ducati when they make their move over here to the States and the AMA Racing Series, SMX Racing Series that we got here. And so then quite a few of the whole Rockstar Gas Gas, bunch of those riders got all husky. Some of them got all flipped around and whatnot. Casey Cochran is off the husky, sticking with Rockstar, and is now on the Rockstar Gas Gas. So he is still under the same Austrian umbrella, I think is the best way I can put that. So, yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see what all shakes out with Troy Lee Designs and his side of the two-wheel motorsports that's going on. Hopefully they get back in with Ducati because they always have some of the coolest gear out there. And, yeah, it's really cool to see them bring outside sponsorships into motocross, supercross. They had all the Spider-Man gear. What's the other movie? Ghostbusters. They had a big hand in bringing them in as sponsors. So hopefully Troy Lee Designs can link up with Ducati, keep bringing some of that nice money into the sport. So yeah, we'll stick with the 250s here. I got a couple names here that I'm going to talk about a little bit, and we're going to start, knocked out two of them already. Well, knocked out one of them, Austin Faulkner. We'll go to his teammate now, who is also sticking on the West Coast. We saw him with a little bit of, he had a red plate for a little bit last year, Jordan Smith, you know, one of the older guys in the 250 class. So it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, another year with him down in the 250s. Is he going to take another step forward here? Last year he had the red plate for a little bit, but now he's switching teams over. I don't see, I don't see Jordan Smith having a red plate this year, to be honest. I think last year, a little bit of a circumstance type of deal on how he got the red plate. Some crashes and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I don't see Jordan Smith really taking that next step and proving himself as a constant championship competitor. Do I think he will definitely be top five guy for sure? Because there's going to be a handful of guys out there where he's just going to have the experience over, like Julian Bomer going into his second season here. Ryder D, I still think he can be a very solid guy, but I think Jordan Smith, just being older, knowing a little bit more, I think he'll be able to get the upper hand on guys like that. But then also you look at the flip side, guys like that, a little bit younger, might hang it out a little bit more, have a little bit more invincibility in their veins, might think they're a little invisible still. Nothing crazy, insane happening to them and whatnot. Might think they can get away with a little bit more. So we'll see what happens there. But still, I think Jordan Smith, I think he's, yeah, he'll get a win, couple podiums. I don't see him proving himself as a constant championship competitor to some of these other guys here. One of the other guys, Joe Shimoda. Now, I love Joe Shimoda. Seems to always be happy. But it also seems like he never starts the season when the season needs to be started. Seems like he waits till about halfway through and he's like, oh, I gotta go race my dirt bike, try to win dirt bike races and see if I can win a championship. Seems like a lot of the time he waits just a little bit too long to until he decides to get going and put a move on it. So it's, if Joe Shimoda can come out of the gate hot, obviously he's training with the Lawrences, so another year doing that. Hopefully they have been able to I don't really know if I want to say, like, talk it into them. Maybe just mentor them a little bit. That, hey, Anaheim won. Get it. There's going to be nerves. There's going to be jitters. But you got to go out there. It seems like first three, four races, he's always fifth, sixth. If he can go out there and just get a couple podiums early, maybe even steal a win early. Joe Shimoda definitely has the speed and ability. Most of the time, 90% of the time, very consistent racer. Does make some mental mistakes, but not very often. Although it does seem like when he makes them, it comes up and bites him at the worst times possible. But I do think Joe Shimoda will be better this year. For me, it all comes down to Anaheim 1 and then where they go, San Diego. I don't have the full schedule in front of me. San Diego, then back to Anaheim. So if I was Joe Shimoda, I would put a big emphasis, it's a big word. I would put a big emphasis on these first three rounds. Go out there, podium. I mean, obviously, he's trying. It just doesn't seem like the fire is there from the very beginning. I think if he can go out there, be a podium guy those first three rounds, Anaheim, San Diego, and then back to Anaheim, he'll be in it until the end at that point. It's just his season starting. Seems like it's always a little late. Both Supercross and Motocross, I feel like it's around the same thing. So Joe Shimoda, there's some guys where it's starts during the race, and there's Joe Shimoda where it starts for the season. Just seems like sometimes it's always just a little touch behind, but he always seems to claw his way out of it. But I'd like to see him not have to claw his way out of it as much. And nice tight battle all the way to the end of the season. And as we're on the topic of starts, Levi Kitchen, for the first couple years of his pro career, it was hole shot and win, or 5th, 6th, 10th. Seems like he's gotten a little bit better at it. Obviously, you're still going to want to go out there and rip hole shots. So, it's obviously not ideal to come around the first turn in 10th, 5th, whatever. But seems like he's gotten a little bit better. Maybe it's a little bit of a little kick in the butt, a little aggression boost that he needed. And that's been able to give him the ability to kind of go and chase down some guys. But still, there are definitely some races where it seems like he gets a bad start. He gets buried, and he just gets buried too deep, too fast, and doesn't have a big enough shovel to get himself out. So, Levi Kitchen, he had a chance to win it. Win this 250 West Championship last year, all the way down to the very last round. Obviously, he did need a lid, or no, win and champion. I don't know how I can, I think I had win and in my mind from these football playoffs going on right now, or end of the regular season going on right now. And it just didn't sound right in my head. But hey, it last year, Salt Lake City, Levi Kitchen, RJ Hampshire, it was finished in front of the other guy. And Kitchen didn't get the start last year in Salt Lake City. That's what killed him in the championship. So maybe it was just a little bit of outdoors where I saw he could kind of come from behind a little bit. But I think he will be. I feel like I'm just saying everyone will be better, but it's pretty hard to be better than going down into the last race tied in points. The only way you can be better is going into the last round up in points, I guess. Or win that sucker early. But Levi Kitchen, definitely a championship contender. And now the guy that gets all the people riled up, Hayden Deegan, got to talk about him. California kid, was going to race West Coast last year, had an injury, ended up going East Coast, started in Detroit with crashing, flipping off Tom Vial when it wasn't Tom Vial's fault. Tom Vial went on to win the championship. No big deal. But Hayden Deegan is sticking on the West Coast, the California kids staying out there. Hayden Deegan. You either love him or you hate him. There's no in between. And I don't think he cares that there's no in between. He claims that he loves all the haters and blah, blah, blah. But really, I don't think there's as many, like, when he first started all the hater talk, I don't think there's as many haters as when he first started it. And the haters grew because he was talking about them, and people didn't like it. So people started hating. But yeah, obviously he is the pro motocross champion last year, the two-time SMX champion in the 250 class. So he's going to be coming in with that weird highlighter, yellow, purple number plate. He can definitely be a championship contender. That's why I left him for one of the last guys here when I get into more of the contender part. He can win the whole dang thing if he wants to. He can also throw the whole dang thing away. He got to go back here. He had a chance at it last year. I thought going into last outdoors that he was going to just have a chance at the championship and throw it all away. Obviously, I was wrong there, but I do think it happened last year. Yes, it did. Last year in Birmingham, when Tom Vial got his second career win, Hayden Deegan ended with a ninth. And that's when they were going back and forth. Deegan was trying to get in Tom Vial's head. Tom Vial said, "Hey, I'm French. I don't understand your language, brother." Obviously, not exactly what happened, but I'd like to think it is. But yeah, there's a chance Deegan can go out there, throw down. We've all seen how fast he can be. We've also seen how fast he can hit the ground at times. So, in my mind, it all comes down, how many races does Hayden Deegan keep his dirt bike on two wheels? If he can keep him on two wheels for most, all but, say, one, maybe two of them, then there's definitely a chance that he can come in here and take the number one plate away from RJ Hampshire. But if he doesn't, there's a chance RJ Hampshire keeps it. There's a chance someone else takes it. I will tell you what I think at the end of the show. Or at the end of this, maybe. Yeah, end of this. RJ Hampshire, getting into him now. Another wrist injury for RJ Hampshire in the offseason. All reports seem to be that he will be a good to go here in 5 days for Anaheim 1. I've seen nothing of the opposite reporting. So fully plan on seeing RJ Hampshire go out here, defend his title in the 250 West Division. He said that this is going to be his last 250 season. Maybe on the East rounds, might jump on a 450 for some of them, kind of get a hang of it a little bit. But I think RJ Hampshire, he's going to be coming in with the confidence. Hey, I just did this last year. I can. There's no reason I can't do it again this year. The only thing that can hold RJ Hampshire back, kind of the same as Deegan, is RJ Hampshire. RJ Hampshire can flat out go very fast on a dirt bike. All these guys can. RJ Hampshire also sometimes seems like he got a little bit better at it last year. When he doesn't have it and he's in third, fourth, and the other guy's 10 seconds up the track with 5 minutes left, he kind of says, okay, this is where I'm at for the night. This is where I'm going to stay for the rest of the night. A couple seasons before last, it seemed like he was still thinking back 15 seconds from the leader with 3 minutes left. He was still thinking, hey, he's half a second in front of me. I got to go. RJ Hampshire seems a little bit smarter now, getting a little bit older. Just like Jordan Smith, one of the older fellas here in the 250 class. A lot of talk on what those rules should be. I don't know. It's all confusing with the whole point out thing. Should there be an age limit? I'm not sure. But we're going to get back to RJ Hampshire and the rest of this class here. RJ Hampshire can definitely win this title again. He is the only 250 guy on Rockstar Husky now for this year. Malcolm Stewart's the only other guy on the team in general. So he has all of their 250 support for him. So I think there's no reason he can't go out here, go back-to-back. But saying that, my official pick, write it down. I don't know if that came through, but I clicked the pen. My official pick is Levi Kitchen for the 250 West Division. I see he went all the way down to the final round last year. I see no reason he can't do it again. Just have the roles reversed. Have him be the champion this time. So, Levi Kitchen looking to move up into the 450s soon, I'm sure. There's a lot of talk with Kawasaki, their guys in the 450 class, their contracts. Really only one of them. But Levi Kitchen, I do believe he will be the 250 West champion. So with that being said, he's probably cursed and he's probably not going to win it. But still, my money is on a Levi. So now we'll head on over to the East. Where should we start? Just looking real quick, we got, like I mentioned, Pierce Brown, new bike, East Coast. He won his last race out, I can tell you that. I don't think he will be too much of a championship guy unless he comes out swinging round one of the East. I don't really see that happening, though. I think Pierce Brown, definitely podium guy. I'd say lock it in. He'll be a top eight guy every single 250 East race. Notice I said 250 East, not... Don't count the East-West shootouts in there. But Pierce Brown, top seven guy every 250 East race. Chance Hymus also staying on the East Coast. with a new number. Also, might I add, number 10, Chance Hymus. Yeah, I think just got a new deal with Red Bull. Extended his contract with HRC through 2026. Obviously, they all saw what he could do in outdoors last year until the injury, and was originally picked for Motocross of Nations. Obviously, injury, couldn't go, like basically everyone else on that team. Chance Hymus. Now I'm kind of getting out of the whole championship order guys that I think. But I think Chance Hymus can definitely go out there, compete for this championship with Tom Viel. Honestly, I see it just kind of really as a two-head race between those two. Yeah. I think it's just going to be Chance Hymus, Tom Viel, and the East are going to be the big guys out on that side. Max Vollen, he's going to be out there. It's going to be interesting to see how he rolls with that brake situation. But Casey Cochran, also East Coast, showed good speed. Shoot, where was that? Unadilla, maybe? Where he got a Moto 2 win outdoors and a little bit of rain. Rockstar Energy, Gas team. New team. Name. Same bike. No. Excuse me, he was on a Husky. Wrong fella there again. Casey Cochran. With, like how I just said, I think it's going to be really just Chance Hymus, Tom Viel, Casey Cochran. I think you're going to see a big step from him this year. Really just a little bit of a void. Seems like a lot of big guys are staying out west. Not a lot of big heavy hitters are coming east. Unless something crazy kind of happens here in the next couple days where some guys pull out of the West Coast, something happens, they got to come east. But I think Casey Cochran, you're going to see a lot of improvement in my mind from him results-wise, kind of sort of solely based on the competition around him. But a guy who would not like hearing that, Jalik Swole, sticking on Triumph, got his podium outdoors last year, first one for the Triumph gang. I think he could be another guy, just kind of sort of fighting for podiums, maybe a race win here or there, fighting for it, but Jalik Swole definitely will be top five guy. I mean, in my head, I got top five, just the order I'm looking at them here. Chance Hymus, Jalik Swole, Tom Viel, Casey Cochran, and then just kind of grab a dart and throw it at the wall and see who it hits for that fifth spot. Just saw Vince Freese. Didn't like seeing his name, really, in general. But yeah, I don't think the East is going to be as stacked as the West, obviously. But that might help out our defending champion, Tom Viel, here. Coming off, I didn't really think, I don't think anyone predicted that Tom Viel's first championship here would be Supercross. You could have told me the Super Motocross. That would have made more sense in my mind than Supercross, but he was consistent last year. Got his first win on a more super motocross style track in Daytona, obviously. And then the next week went to Birmingham. I remember there was no whoops because the rain during the week, all that, blah, blah, blah. Whoops. Only 9 of them. Still kind of sucks. But, yeah, I don't think anyone was expecting Tom Vielle's first championship in America to come in Supercross. But it did. He was consistent, consistently a podium guy after that first crazy round in Detroit where everybody except for Austin Faulkner got taken out in it. I think this 250 East little preview here is a little bit shorter just simply because there's not as many guys. And I think Thomas Vielle goes back-to-back. Last time I picked a back-to-back champion in Supercross was Chase Sexton. We all saw how that turned out. But Tom Vielle seems to get along with that bike a little bit better than Chase Sexton did last year. So I think Tom Vielle is going to go out there. Just wrote that sucker down again. Levi Kitchen in the east, or west, excuse me. Tom Vielle in the east. And now it's big boy time. Let's get to 450 class here and really get this party. We're going to get this party started. Took me too long to say, so that means I'm late to the party and we got to get going here. Old faces, new places, 250 edition. Jorge Prado, kind of sort of an old face. We saw him for a couple rounds last year. Stuck around one extra round. Got his heat race win. Don't exactly remember where. I think it was, round 4 last year? Yeah. It was, definitely round 4. What was round 4? Anaheim 2? Never mind, because that was a triple crown. Was it round 5? No, because that was Detroit. I don't know. San Diego, I think he got a heat race win. 0-2, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. He got a heat race win last year. Stuck around a race longer, but off his gas bike that he was on last year, moved over to Adam Cianciarulo's old spot. Shout out Cianciarulo, going to be on Race Day Live now with Justin Brayton. No more Dan Hubbard. Thank you. But yeah, Jorge Prado moving over to the Monster Energy Kawasaki team. Reports that I have heard today, not exactly flying. Big joke that goes around in the off season. Flying at the test track. Jorge Prado supposedly is not flying at the test track. But that's kind of to be expected in my mind. We'll get into... screw it, we'll just do it now. He's going to start slow, no doubt about it. In my mind, Jorge Prado, make all the rounds, don't get lapped this year. I was reminded today that he got lapped last year. Don't get lapped, make all the rounds, do all the laps. Win a heat race or two, maybe. You did it last year. You can do it again this year. Just learn everything. Learn the day schedule, the week schedule. Because obviously in Europe, They're flying all over the world, so they got different schedules, multiple weeks off at times, going flipping 15 time zones over. I don't even know. But he's going to make his money in the outdoor season. You would think, oh, it's also the same thing that I thought with Tom Vielle his first year. Didn't exactly go to plan for Tom Vielle his first year outdoors either. But he's going to be more comfortable outdoors. We know that. As long as he can adjust to our race day schedule outdoors, he'll be better. But yeah, he's going to get better in my mind during the season. Like I said, maybe mess around, win a heat race or two. Nothing crazy. I think he can be 6 to 10 most nights. Like, I think last year, his heat race win came in the mud, which kind of surprising because you'd think he'd be more of a sand fella coming from Spain than going to Belgium at a young age, working in the sand. But I definitely think there might be some nights where he can fight for a podium. I'm not going to say really at all that he's going to be fighting for wins some nights because I just don't see that happening. See, it's going to be interesting to see how Jorge Prado, his season develops. And, yeah, I'm very excited. Jorge Prado, welcome to America. Let freedom ring. Go talk to Plessinger. Learn how America is. Get some fireworks. Do all the fun stuff. Now we're getting sidetracked here. Shocker. Justin Barcia. He was Troy Lee Designs Gas Gas. He's now Rockstar Gas Gas, so he's involved in that whole switchover. Not really an old face in a new place. Just he's just got a new title sponsor. Got a new energy drink he needs to promote and wear the hat of. So nothing too crazy for Justin Barcia. But Justin Barcia, we all saw that crazy hit he put on Jet Lawrence last year in Atlanta, maybe? I don't know. It was a red dirt round, I can tell you that. I can't remember where exactly. Glendale, maybe. Now I'm just thinking out loud. And I should never do that. I should just talk into a microphone. It's the same difference I do every time I come on here. Justin Barcia, also one of those guys getting older. Haven't really seen guys getting that are older this much in the sport, especially with how fast they're getting lately. You know, Villopoto, Dungy, a handful of other guys. I'd like to say even James Stewart retired maybe a little bit older, or excuse me, younger than what these guys are doing now. So very impressive to see Justin Barcia still going. Also, just popped into my head, Kyle Chisholm lining up for his 20th season this year on the Twisted T HEP Suzuki. So big shout out to Chiz. I know the whole Chiz is gonna Chiz thing. I heard Steve Mathis, not the biggest fan of his, but he did say today, death, taxes, and Chiz. Pretty much makes sense when your racing career spans, what, 3-4 presidencies? Kind of impressive. Back to Justin Barcia. There's going to be, it seems like, as of late, the last couple years, it's just going to be one round out of nowhere where he's just on it come main event time. And he's going to be up there battling. Did it last year. 2 years ago, I remember in Indy when Roczen got his win, first win on the Suzuki in 2023. He had Barcia right behind him the entire race. So, yeah, just expect one race this year. Justin Barcia is just going to find rocket fuel. He's going to put it in his dirt bike, and he's going to go really fast. That's really all I got on Justin Barcia. He's going to have a random race every year, just one. And it's going to surprise everybody. And then I think he's going to go back to 6th, 5th, 7th for the rest of the year. Christian Craig, interesting story with him. He will be joining the series late with having the torn ACL late in the SMX rounds last year. He moved from Rockstar Husky back to Star Yamaha as a rider. So now they got three riders. He's going to be a 450 rider / 250 coach. Supposedly it's mainly a coach for Deegan. I guess it's for Deegan on and off the track. Obviously, teaching hasn't started yet. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when Christian Craig gets back. Is he going to be just a top 10 guy like he's been? Is he going to slowly start fading into just the coaching and be totally done by the time outdoors rolls around, which I wouldn't be very surprised about, especially with all the injuries that man has gone through. His arms are scary with them scars. Yeah, I guess last one I got here, Joey Savacci, moving from his Triumph 250, which he thought they were going to have a 450 ready for him this year. They don't, so he moved over to the Firepower Honda team, which he's been riding in World Supercross, over in the Ozex Open. I think he did Paris. I think he's doing some Arena Cross rounds too. Maybe. I know Dean Wilson is, who's doing a select number of Monster Energy Supercross rounds. But anyway, Joey Savacci, top 15 guy all year. Well, yeah. I'd say give him 13 to 15 in points when the season comes to a close. Book it. Also, shout out, now you can bet on Supercross races. I think it's 450 class only. Haven't looked into it at all really too much. I saw there's some odds on DraftKings Sportsbook, their app. Yeah, so I don't know what maybe I'll look into it a little bit more, talk about them a little bit. Talk about the who Vegas has going into races and whatnot a little bit more during the season. But I'm going to be honest, I don't really have too much information on it right now. I do know I saw Jet is the favorite to win Anaheim 1, which, not surprised, I would take that bet. Last year deal here for the 450s, excuse me. We got a handful of guys, and two of them are on the heels of bankruptcy from their team. I just said it, so we'll start with them. The KTM boys, Sexton and Plessinger, are both reportedly on their last year of their deal. There's obviously big news out there about KTM filing for bankruptcy. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens not only with that team, but with those two individuals. I know last time Sexton was going into the last year of a deal, he already had kind of, I think it was a little bit of a handshake agreement behind closed doors agreement on his next team. So I'm not sure if that's the same case, but last time, secret didn't stay a secret for very long. So if this is happening again, we will definitely find out about it soon. Plessinger, I saw his dad actually was on KTM. Don't remember the year, but they filed for bankruptcy, and then his dad went on to win the GNCC championship that same year. So obviously that means Aaron Plessinger is going to win the championship this year. He's not my pick, though, but it would be a really crazy story if that actually happened. Lawrence Bros, Jet may be extended already. Word's not out there yet, but both of them are on the last year of their deal. I'm sure that will get resolved very quickly. I don't see them leaving Honda ever, unless something crazy happens. I don't know why Honda would ever want to get rid of them. With all the success they've had, I don't know why they'd ever want to leave Honda. Cooper Webb, two different people, same team, both last years of their deal. Cooper Webb, getting up there in age a little bit. Retirement might be coming into his mind. Obviously, they got Christian Craig now. They got a Ford... four rider team. We all know this is Eli's last year. We'll get more on him in a little bit here. So I could definitely see a situation where both of them get extended. Christian Craig moves into a coaching role next year, and then Eli is not going to be around next year. He is retiring. So I can see them two staying at Yamaha for next year. Malcolm Stewart, Rockstar Husqvarna. Very, very interesting deal. Like I mentioned in the 250s, RJ Hampshire and Malcolm Stewart are the only two riders on that entire team. Jason Anderson going into the last year of his deal with Monster Energy Kawasaki. Obviously, they just spent big money on Jorge Prado. I'm not sure if they're going to want to keep Anderson around as... Well, obviously, there's still plenty of times. I don't know why I'm saying all these names and not breaking them down as I go. So we're going to start that now with Anderson. And then at the end, we'll loop back around and get talking about those other guys. Jason Anderson. It seems like he's kind of... I kind of put him in the same boat as Justin Barcia, which kind of funny. I think if you put the two of them in the same boat in real life, they're gonna actually fight. That's just the way the two of them are, at least on a dirt bike track. It seems like once, maybe twice a year, Anderson will just kind of come out of nowhere, do really good. He can definitely be a top five guy with how deep this field is. I don't think there's more than four guys that will be consistently top five. But I think he will, Anderson will put his head in there in that top five area more than most looking from the outside in. Justin Barcia, talked about him a little bit earlier. It is his last year of his deal with this new Rockstar Gas Gas. Kenny Roczen coming back. We obviously saw him outdoors a little bit. We saw him at the last three rounds. We saw him in England for Motocross of Nations and then the World Supercross. So last we saw him in American Supercross, his shock blew up, his leg blew up. That's no good. Last year, his deal for that Progressive Suzuki team of his, they're supposedly, he's still kind of getting used to the new KYB suspension. They had Showa all the way until that shock explosion, moved over to KYB. I guess he's still getting used to it a little bit. And also, might have an electric start for Anaheim 1 that's been tested. He's posted pictures of it. But I guess there's a really good chance he's got an electric start for Anaheim 1. So, sadly, Kickstart Kenny might just be button pushing Kenny now. Dylan Ferrandis, our next guy on the list here in the last year of his deal. Oh, man. He was so excited going into last year. Was so confident getting on this Phoenix Honda. I guess he thought his bike would be a little bit closer to the HRC factory racing team's bikes than it really was. He took blame for that. He said, yep, that's my bad. But supposedly, the new production bikes do feel a lot more similar to the Works factory HRC bikes. So it's going to be interesting with Dylan Ferrandis. Obviously, he's a past outdoors champion. Really struggled last year. I don't see him taking more than two steps forward. By that, I say just say positions at the end of the year. I don't see him going much higher. I don't think he's going to battle for race wins or anything like that. So now we will work our way back up that list for some of the guys I just kind of glossed over. We'll start with Aaron Plessinger. Last year we saw the Cowboy get his first Supercross win on the 450 Premier Class. Had the red plate for a couple rounds. Really showed what he could do in the outdoors. He was a constant podium guy in the outdoors. Second, third, just about all summer. Then went over, represented America in the Nations. I think we do see him take a step forward in speed. It's so hard to say, yeah, these guys are going to start consistently getting podiums and battling for race wins when you just look at the guys on this paper here. It is insane. I mean, you got Jet, Hunter, Cooper Webb, Sexton, Eli. It's just... All right, I'm going to say Plessinger, mark him down 2 wins this year, at least. If he gets a third, that's a bonus. But I think he will get at least 2 wins this year. Last year of his deal, maybe doesn't have anything figured out for next year with this whole KTM bankruptcy dealio going on. But I think he's going to ride very motivated. Try to get back on that podium. People's champion. Everyone loves him. Aaron Plessinger. 2 wins this year at least. He'll go to his teammate now. Chase Sexton. Who knows what Chase Sexton is thinking besides Chase Sexton and now his new mechanic Jade Dungey, Ryan Dungey's brother, obviously. He was Aaron Plessinger's mechanic for the last, I think, as long as Plessinger's been on KTM, so 3 years, I think. So it's going to be very interesting to see. Hopefully them two can, Jade Dungey and Chase Sexton can gel together, because from what I was seeing, Jade Dungey, I feel like I got to say his first name every time or people are going to think I'm talking about Ryan Dungey. Jade Dungey and Aaron Plessinger definitely mesh together. So hopefully Sexton and Jade Dungey can mesh good together. Obviously last year Sexton brought his mechanic with him from Honda, and then crazy incident happens, whiskey throttle, bike goes flying. Next race, Sexton's got a new mechanic. Sexton, can he figure the starts out? That is his biggest problem. Jet, Eli, Cooper Webb, they are all too good to come around the first turn consistently fifth place and beyond. You can't do that in this class anymore. It's just simply not good enough. You got to come out of that first turn first, anywhere from first to third. And even sometimes if you're coming around in third, that's still not going to be good enough for a win that night. But if Chase Sexton can figure out his starts, he's a past champion, Supercross and Motocross. He's won them both. He has the ability to win this championship. The only thing that is stopping him, I think, are the confidence in his starts. If he goes out there, first couple rounds, pulls a couple good starts, you know, maybe second, Jet starts in front of him, Jet pulls a whole shot, Chase in second, maybe they come around neck and neck, Jet kind of edges him out in the next rhythm section or whatever, and he's right there, half a second behind in the finish, or even wins that race, I think that will do a world of differences compared to last year. Last year, Sexton came out and said he was very uncomfortable coming into this season. This year, I ain't heard nothing from him, and I watch all his YouTube videos and everything. I haven't really heard too much besides in his last one. He said, yeah, we figured out the main issue we were having, so that's good. That's all we're getting from Sexton this offseason. He's not saying good, bad, nothing. Sexton, get your starts, dude. He can be fast enough. He's shown it, and it's gonna come down to the end. Cooper Webb. We'll hit Justin Cooper here real quick. Justin Cooper, obviously big starts guy. He can definitely go out there, get a start, lead some laps. He did it last year, indoors and outdoors. He can go out there, get a start, lead some laps, and consistently improve. I think he'll stick his nose in that top five a couple times, handful of times this year. So I see a big improvement. It's just, I'm saying it over and over. I think it's a flipping stacked class this year. So I find it so hard to find a new top five guy when I think you go out there, you roll the dice, you're going to get the same top five, just a different order maybe every night. But Cooper Webb, he is one of those top five guys in my mind. And I think Cooper Webb is one of those fellas out there. He can use his brain to beat you. Everyone says Cooper Webb got eyes on the back of his head. One of the strongest, one of the mentally strongest guys out there. I see no reason for that to be coming to an end whatsoever. I mean, shoot, he's just consistent. He is probably, over the last handful of years, one of the more consistent guys out there. When he's healthy, he's had some injuries, thumb and whatnot. But yeah, he's a two-time champion in this. Obviously, he's not always going to be the fastest guy. Maybe will only be the fastest guy, really, once or twice a season. But he'll go out there and knock down 3-4 wins without hesitation. It'll just be from straight up hammering down and just nagging the guy in front of him and knowing where you're going when you're behind him. So he's definitely going to be a championship contender. And stick with his teammate, old Eli Tomac. Very, very, very happy. He's not retired yet. It's going to suck the day he retires. Hopefully his last race is at Ironman at the Motocross of Nations for the big U.S. victory at home. But, yeah, that's going to suck when he retires. But I can still, in my head, see him. He had one win last year, obviously, coming off of the big Achilles injury. Then he had the little thumb issue towards the end of the season. But he was a changed person by time SMX came around. He was an absolute madman at the Motocross of Nations. He went out, won the World Supercross Championship. I think it was 3-4 rounds. Anyway, still went out there and won it. I think he won almost every race. Eli Tomac, his thing, if it just stay healthy, when are they going to Denver? That's my biggest issue with Eli Tomac. Let's see. What is that? Seattle, Foxborough, Philly, Denver, round 16. Okay. That is the round before the last round. Last 2 years, he made a big announcement right before Denver and then got hurt. This year, Eli, please, if you got a big announcement, make it after Denver. Just please, 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 please. I want to see you healthy still the whole way through. If he stays healthy, he's going to get more than one win this year. I guarantee you. He might go out there. He might steal Ken Roczen's win. He might steal 2-3 from Jet from last year's. I got an 8, 10, 11, 12, 15, 16. I'm missing a round somehow in my tally. I don't know. Yeah, he'll go out there. He's going to win more than one race next year. You can guarantee that. I said Plaschinger is going to win, what did I say, 2? Eli's going to win more than one. Book it, brother. He's definitely going to, I think he's going to ride very, very free, loose, knowing last year, got to go out on top. Every professional sports athlete, the dream is not even just professional, amateur athletes as well. The dream is always win the last one. Eli Tomac is definitely capable of that. We saw Villopoto do it. We saw Dungy do it until he came back for a year in the outdoors. But I just think, I think Eli Tomac has the ability to go out there, steal some wins that maybe he shouldn't get. And yeah, championship contender. Also, jumping back to Chase Sexton real quick. I heard on the Title 24 podcast, Ricky Carmichael, Ryan Villopoto, 24 championships, not a big deal. I got zero. Ricky said Chase kind of slipped up and asked, because Ricky asked him what his kind of plans were with KTM for next year and whatnot. He said Chase kind of slipped up and said, my last year with KTM, and then said, this is my last year on my contract. So kind of, I know I'm jumping back quite a bit here, but Chase is gone. He's not on an orange bike going into next year. That's just my thoughts. I forgot I wrote that down. Had to say that real quick. Hunter Lawrence, and then we'll get to Jet, and then we'll get my pick. Hunter Lawrence, we saw him kind of step up in outdoors after how his 450 career started last year, missing the main event at Anaheim 1. We saw him really step up in the outdoors, be a constant podium guy. Was out for a couple rounds with injury, but when he was there, he was constantly on the podium, nagging Jet. And then Jet went out, nagging Chase the rest of the way, nagging Plessinger. Didn't matter who he was behind, who he was in front of. He raced very solid in outdoors. And I see no reason for that to change. I think he's going to be a podium guy damn near every single night out there. There's absolutely no reason for my mind to tell me any different. I think Hunter, I think he will be, I think his season might start out a little bit better this year than it did last year. Obviously, I think he's going to make the main event. Boy, do I really hope he makes the main event now that I just said that. But I think he will. I think he's going to have a much better year this year than he had last year. And by saying that, I mean he's going to get some more wins. Actually, I think that might be the win I'm missing here. Did Hunter win last year? I should definitely know that. But Hunter Lawrence will be, I feel like I can't just go out there and say, everyone's gonna get a win. I feel like that's not fair. But life ain't fair, man. But I definitely think Hunter Lawrence will be able to go out and get a win. Let's take a look at this. Looking back, stats. No, he did not get a win last year. He had a second. He had one podium in Supercross, and then obviously 9 podiums in the outdoors. So, yeah, the kid knows how to ride a dirt bike, and he does it pretty darn good. Along with his brother, the 2-time SMX champion, the 1-time Supercross champion, only done it once, but he won it. I almost said Hunter Lawrence because I was looking at his name. Ha, that's not funny. Jet Lawrence. The man has won everything possible. He's won 250 every championship. He's won 450 every championship. He's won Motocross of Nations. The man knows how to win. He is also starting to get some little bit of haters out there. He likes to speak his mind, yes. Is he cocky? In my mind, no. That's where him and Deegan are different. I think Deegan's cocky. Jet, on the other hand, speaks the truth. My man went undefeated his rookie year in the outdoors on a 450. Says, okay, let's take this puppy to SMX. Rookie wins it. All right, let's bring it inside. Maybe Supercross on a 450, a little bit more technical, won't be able to do the same thing. That's exactly, almost word for word, what I said last year on my preview show. Yeah, that was wrong. He went out there, dominated, wins Anaheim 1, struggles a little bit round 2 in the mud, not a big deal. Gives Sexton a win, gives Plessinger a win, and then just goes out there and just dominates. He, see, now I think I got my number wrong that I wrote down. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. 8 wins last year in, Supercross. Wins the championship. There's nothing he hasn't won. They're going to have to come up with a new championship to find something Jet Lawrence hasn't won yet. I mean, I think he's going to win again this year. Jet Lawrence is my prediction. Writing it down. Jet Lawrence will be the winner of 450 Supercross. I'd be an absolute idiot to pick against him. Like I said, I don't know what the odds are on the betting that's now available. But I do know he is the favorite. I can't tell you exactly what the number is. I don't think it's a very big one, to be honest. I think it's like a plus one something, maybe, which isn't very big. But yeah. I think, honestly, I made this mistake last year. I picked Chase Sexton to go back-to-back last year. That didn't happen. I'm picking Jet to go back-to-back this year. And now I'm going to say this next statement. I think his biggest competitor is still going to be Chase Sexton. I think Sexton is the only one that has the ability to throw down the same raw speed as Jet Lawrence. You got to think, though, see, now in my head I'm already taking myself out of it because of what happened at the SMX rounds. But last time they were on a full Supercross track, Chase Sexton went out there and won. Jet also already had the title wrapped up. Actually, that night, I think he just needed like a 15th or something. But I think Chase Sexton is the biggest competitor to Jet Lawrence going into this year or during this year. But I think Jet's going to pull it out. So, it's going to be exciting year of racing. All starts January 11th. Round 1, my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. So not sure if I'll be able to watch it live or not. I don't know. We'll see. But who do we got? Levi Kitchen, West Coast. Tom Viel, East Coast. Jet Lawrence, Country. That's what we're calling it. We're just calling it 250's got their East, 250's got their West, 450's got the country. Jet Lawrence will be the 450 Supercross champion. Yeah. This was a little bit longer than I was thinking, to be honest. But, oh well. First show back in a bit. Remembered what to do. Remembered how to plug everything in. Remembered to plug Talkin' _ Moto on X. I will be putting out the tweet. It will be pinned. So when maybe none of my predictions come true, hey, at least I put them out there. But anyway, round one, Anaheim won. Race winners, screw it. Just give me Jet Lawrence. That was a very difficult decision. Oh, no. And honestly, I think Deegan's going to come out of the gate hot. He's going to win Anaheim 1. And then Levi's going to take over. So, give me Jet. Give me Deegan for Anaheim 1. But give me Kitchen overall in the West Coast. Talkin' _ Moto on X. Yeah. Subscribe. Maybe, possibly, probably not gonna get a YouTube anytime soon. Not sure why I just kept saying any of that either. But I did. Now here we are. Talkin' _ Moto on X. Follow, retweet, like, comment, questions, all of that. Would love any of it. And I'll be back next week. See ya.